because you just got a real cool vibe, man. Yeah, we can talk and chill. We should like get coffee or something.
Yeah, we should, man. Absolutely.
We're in your house, we're in your car, we are wherever you are, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
Hi, my name is Apostle Burl Howard, and guess what? You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Ernest Pugh, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Keep it locked right here.
Soul Prosper Radio.
There you go.
Stay with me. This is Ronette Harrison.
I'm Kirk Whalen.
Hey, this is Cheryl Pepsi Riley.
I am Tashina Arnold.
And together we are chosen.
Jay Digger.
This is Fred Hammond.
This is Sherry Shepherd.
Hey, this is Percy Beatty, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Cool vibe, man.
Hey everybody, welcome back to On the Record. I'm Fred Willis, your gracious host, and I have a very special guest with me today. My special guest is coming to the area Sunday, July 3rd. He's coming to Michael's of Las Colinas for a very special show. I want you to be there. You don't want to miss it. So help me welcome to the show Mr. Tim Cunningham. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. It's so good to be talking to you. For a minute there, I had so many guests from the DMV area. I thought I was just like a DMV surrogate for a while. So it's good to be talking talking to somebody else from the area. So talk about everything you got going on. Talk about life in Tim Cunningham's world. Fill us in.
So this will be the first time I've ever been to Dallas.
Okay.
I am a former Atlantic Records recording artist. I had a deal with Atlantic Records, and the album was co-produced by Euless Cathy, and Euless was a big guy in jazz back in the day. He just passed a couple of years ago, and he brought in Brian Culbertson to produce a couple of tracks on the CD, which the track "This Is the Life" was the track that got to number 19 on the Billboard chart. And I did one album with them, and sadly 2 years later Atlantic decided to shut down the jazz label. So since then it's all been pretty much independent projects for me, and you know, on the road performing in various places. I moved to St. Louis in 1994, which is where I'm, which is where I've been since then. And just performing in various places, going, like I said, Dallas on July 3rd. We'll be in St. Joe, Michigan, August 20th, and then Stockton, California on August 28th. So getting around to play some different places. The style of music I play is more of a, I consider it R&B instrumental music, because that's really what I do. I consider myself to be an R&B saxophonist. Because we do, that's what we do. We do Luther Vandross, Anita Baker, Stevie Wonder, all that kind of stuff. And I throw in some of my original material as well.
Okay.
So I am excited to come to Michael's in Las Colinas. I understand that it's a beautiful area, number one, and the club is a beautiful place. And I hear the food is off the charts, so I am super, super excited. I mean, I played in Houston once long ago, but I've never gotten a chance to have opportunity to perform in Dallas, so I'm really looking forward to people coming out and supporting us. And I know that there are a lot of people in St. Louis that have moved from here to Dallas.
Yeah.
In the area. Because there's a Facebook page called STL to DFW.
Wow.
And there's 4,000 people on that Facebook page.
Wow, okay.
Looking forward to it.
So it's you'll see a lot of familiar faces when you come to this new place. That feels good, doesn't it?
Yes. exactly. Yeah, and I got some people from my hometown, which is I'm originally from Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, yeah.
And I graduated from Michigan State University. I was on a football scholarship there.
Okay.
And got my started out as a music major, but actually got my degree in telecommunications.
Oh.
Had an opportunity to play. Did not get drafted, but I had an opportunity to sign a free agent contract. Ironically, with the Dallas Cowboys.
And you know what? You won't be too far from your old stomping grounds when you come to Las Colinas. You know, they've since relocated to Frisco. But Las Colinas is not too far from Valley Ranch. So that's a full circle moment right there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, but I turned the football offer down. They offered me minimum salary, which was very low at the time, $40,000. And so I turned the football, because once you sign the pro contract, you lose the rest of your scholarship, and I have another year left on my scholarship to finish school.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to finish school, and I have absolutely no regrets.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I got a chance to play in college. I was honorable mention all Big Ten my sophomore, senior year. So, I got some notoriety and some teams that were looking, but it was just, that was the only opportunity that I got. And I just, when I was sitting at that table, I just kept seeing one of my counselors from junior high school, hey, man, whatever you do, get that degree.
Yeah.
Stuck in my head.
Wow. That's amazing. And, for you, you said telecommunications and music. I think you fare kind of good. I like that.
It was a good move for me because I focused on the instrument.
Yeah.
I can play the saxophone for the rest of my life. I can only play football for a limited amount of years, and and looking at all the injury stuff now, especially with all the head injuries.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that I got out of the game when I did. So it was a means of getting through college, and that's what it was for. So,
wow.
I think that's how God placed it in my life anyway. I think that's what it was. Because I didn't even want to play football in high school. I didn't even go out for the team.
Yeah.
A friend of mine asked me to come out, and then second game, I'm on varsity playing defense, and the second half of the game, they put me in as a tailback, and I scored 3 touchdowns, and then I started getting all these letters.
Oh, wow.
So that's how that came about. So,
okay. Well, you know what? He's still scoring, y'all. He's scoring major hits on the stage. That's why you got to come see him at Michaels of Las Colinas. Round the Clock Entertainment presents Tim Cunningham at Michaels of Las Colinas next Sunday, July 3rd. You got to be there. You don't want to miss it. What a story. Somebody actually turns down a pro contract and says, I think I want to do something else, especially with the Dallas Cowboys. Let me ask, was that during Tex Schramm or Jerry Jones's? No. Let me say Tex Schramm.
We're talking Tom Landry.
Now, listen, you really got to know what you want to do with your life if you turn down a contract off of Tex Schramm and Tom Landry. I mean, we're talking the Dallas Cowboys back then.
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah, he was Mr. Cowboy. I had a lot of respect for him. The funny thing is, I was not a big Cowboy fan at all. So that was, that was kind of like God sitting. When I was sitting at the table, it was like, okay, the one team that you really didn't care for.
Uh-huh.
So it was like a message. I got a very good friend of mine here in St. Louis that is an ex-Cowboy. His name is Howard Richards. He played on the offensive line.
Okay.
And him and I would have been teammates, and we talk about that every time we see each other. But, it is what it is. As a kid growing up, I was a Detroit Lions fan. I was just one of those guys.
Yeah.
I grew up in Michigan, and that was the team I followed, so. But I always had so much respect for Landry, and didn't like the way they took him out.
Yeah. So did he wear his fedora in the meeting?
He was not there. They sent up a banker up.
Oh, Fred, just wire you the money right there. Hand you a slide a bag right. of cash across the table.
Yeah, he came and there were, three or four of us that they were signing to free agent contracts. And,
oh, okay.
The other two or three guys ended up signing and going to camp, but I stayed away. I wanted to, like I said, I wanted to get my degree.
Okay. So. Well, listen, y'all, what a phenomenal story. We're talking about everything except music, but this is a phenomenal story. Because you don't hear stories like this. You really don't. You know, you have people now who do everything they can to come and play for the Dallas Cowboys, even in the state that they're in now, just a state of just confusion. This, I don't know. They do anything. They would move heaven and earth to do that, to come play here. But you hear a story of a man doing that. So now you heard that part. Now we really got to hear about the music. He was on the now defunct Atlantic records on the jazz in the jazz division, and so you heard the name Brian Culbertson. Y'all know him. Here in Dallas Fort Worth, we had a station called the Oasis, and this kind of music is what was played on the Oasis. So many people miss it. We miss it on the dial. There was 106.1 for a long time, then finally 107.5. Now it can be heard digitally. But you'll hear music like Mr. Tim Cunningham's music at Michael's of Las Colinas. I'm going to keep saying it throughout the interview so y'all don't have to call me and ask me where you can see him. Michael's of Las Colinas, great food, great atmosphere. It's going to be a great show. So now talk to us about your music. We know you've recorded music. We know you play, you know, great covers. But talk to us about your music.
Well, I started, you know, recording my own stuff back in the late 90s. I'm sorry, in the late 80s and into the 90s. And the funny thing about Atlantic Records is back then, you know, it was three or four songs and sent a demo to all these record companies and trying to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the, you know, for the most part, you would send it out and you would get no response from anybody.
Yep.
So the one record label that I actually got a response was Atlantic. Back in like 91, 92, they said, well, this material just doesn't quite fit for now. So, and then 3 years later, I moved to Chicago. My wife and I got married. We moved to Chicago, and I ran into a woman from Ebony Magazine, and she was interviewing Sylvia Rhone. She was interviewing some of the most powerful black women in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, hey, I'd be happy to give her your CD. And she gave it to her. And she invited us out to do a showcase in New York. So we spent all this money going out to New York. Still, they didn't show up. So we got back. And she said, well, I'm sorry. I apologize. Blah, 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 blah. So we came back. Spent more money going out there. I mean, flights, the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't show up again. So anyway, so after that, I guess the CD was good enough for her to give us a deal, and she actually gave me the record deal. So started recording. I mean, I had two CDs under my belt before the Atlantic Records CD, and the one CD before the Atlantic Records CD actually got me a deal with Coors Brewing Company. They saw me in Chicago, and they put me on several events across the country, a lot of 100 black men events. We did some Negro League baseball events. We got a chance to do a couple of Super Bowl events and stuff with Jeffrey Osborne. So and the biggest event we did was the Cincinnati Music Festival from 94 to 99. I was the opening act. In front of Patti LaBelle, Luther Vandross, the OJs, the biggest acts in R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And these were shows that were Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and with about 40,000 people. So that blew up actually before I even got the record deal, and I restarted recording. So that's what kind of prompted me to go after the record deal and start recording my own music. And I've always had kind of a knack for writing my own melody, not necessarily the tracks themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I always depended on a keyboard player or somebody who could, you know, provide me with some tracks.
Right.
And then I would create my own melodies. So
okay.
That's how I came about. And actually, Bobby Lyle.
Yeah.
He is responsible for me getting the deal with Atlantic because he was with Atlantic at the time.
Oh.
And he was the one that pushed Sylvia to help me to get me onto the label. And Will Downing actually sang some background vocals on the CD, the Atlantic Records CD for me. And he is now one of my fraternity brothers with Omega Psi Phi. So, right. So I have since recorded four other CDs on my own. We did a live CD, which was all remixed. But before that, we did a bunch of original material.
Mm-hmm.
Working on a CD right now that should be out hopefully before October.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, while you were playing football, let me just go here. While you were playing football, you're studying telecommunications. When did you have time to study saxophone, or did this come after college? When were you a saxophonist?
So, the first 2 years, my freshman sophomore year, I was a music major.
So
I was a music major starting out because in high school, you know, although I was playing football, playing basketball, and running track,
mm-hmm.
I still wanted to pursue the music. I just loved music. My high school band director had a friend at Florida A&M
mm-hmm.
who was going to provide me with a scholarship if for some reason I didn't get a sports scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But music was always there.
Oh, okay.
And when I got to Michigan State, I decided to be a music major because I wanted to be like a studio musician. That's what I set up. I wanted to be anyway.
Yeah.
And but your question is interesting because as an athlete, you have no time.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, fall, winter, and spring, you have zero time.
I mean,
you get up and go to class in the morning in the fall until roughly 1:30, 2 o'clock. You go get your ankles taped. You go to practice from 3 to 6. You get out of there, you go to training table, eat dinner. If you were below like a 2-point grade point average, you had to go to study hall for 2 hours.
Right.
And by that time, it was 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
So your day was, that was your fall. Saturday night was the only time you had off after the game. And then Sunday morning, we were at practice again watching film. Wintertime, we're up in the morning, every day running. Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the afternoon, we're actually lifting weights. So you're kind of doing tour days during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do spring ball
yep.
in April. And school's out in like May, June. And you got a couple, I had no time really to even play my saxophone.
Wow.
Except for the class, the jazz class I was in. I was in the jazz band class.
Wow.
So I had a very hard time. I mean, I had some time after practice. Because I had a decent grade point average, so I didn't have to go to study hall.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time between after training table to go back to my dorm and sit in like the piano room and practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was tough. But after my junior, when I found out that it was going to take me probably another extra year to get my degree in music because there were so many one credit courses, I decided to switch to telecommunications because I love TV and radio.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow. So did you go on, in addition to music, did you ever spend any time in, I guess we would call it now, mass communications or broadcasting? Did you spend any time in the mass comm world?
I actually did not. I interviewed at a local TV station in my hometown, WJIM, and did not accept the position there, and then got into the insurance industry.
Okay.
I worked at the Urban League for a couple of years.
Oh,
and then
nice.
I got into insurance adjusting, and I've been doing that since 1992. Since 89. I was in 89 for a couple of years. I got out, and I was a full-time musician for 7 years, and I got back into the insurance industry. So that's what I've been doing. So by day, I'm an insurance adjuster.
Okay.
When I'm not doing the music, and mostly the music always happens on the weekends anyway for me.
Wow, this is such an interesting story. You turned down also the broadcasting job opportunity that you had. Wow.
Yeah, I turned that down as well. It was, you know, it was just something that I thought I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But and it was a job like running cameras, doing some background work, because that was really what my field was TV and radio and you know, behind the scenes. My brother actually worked at Michigan State at WKAR, which is the PBS station. And he ran lights for them for like 30 plus years.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that was the kind of position I was kind of wanting to get into, either running cameras or being a director behind the scenes. I also like being in front of the scenes. Because originally, I really wanted to be, if I could have got into the NFL, maybe a year or two or whatever, and then maybe gotten into some broadcasting situations, like, you know, being a reporter or something like that. But it just didn't pan out that way for me. So I'm blessed with the way things went. Been married for 30 years, 3 kids. You know, I'm really, really, truly blessed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think NFL Films wasn't too far from you. Right there in the Michigan area. I'm thinking he was in Detroit. I'm not sure. I'm thinking Steve Sabo.
I'm not sure where they were, but I do know that, you know, the Hall of Fame is right there in Ohio, which wasn't far from at all. Yeah, Steve, I love Steve Sabo. I mean, I thought what they put on film was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Even, I mean, just for the time, I thought they were so far ahead
of
time, the way that they could, you know, present a football game to you. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I love it so much. And so the Atlantic Records music is available. He's got other albums available that you can listen to. This is a very interesting conversation. I told y'all we're talking about everything, but seems like we're talking about everything but music. I guarantee you Tim Cunningham is worth listening to. He's worth coming to meet. And I'm telling you, you got to get your tickets now, because as he already told y'all, there are a lot of transplants here from the DMV area. People from St. Louis are here. I don't know why they're here. They are here. And listen, you're going to be, if you wait to buy your ticket, you might just miss it, because all of those people are going to be here. But Michaels of Las Colinas is where it's going down, y'all. You got to be here to hear. You got to, listen, I want to meet this interesting man who turns down a professional football contract as well as a broadcasting contract. I got to meet this guy. I'm scared, because I think I want to ask a question, but I don't want to push the conversation further away from music. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm gonna take a risk. I'm gonna step out and ask this question. To me, it seems like you were guided by purpose. You didn't really come on out and say that, but I think that's the word I want to interject into this conversation. You gotta know your purpose. You gotta know what you're supposed to do. You gotta know what you're supposed to do. Sometimes people say I have this aspiration or that aspiration, and they may not have the qualifications, and that's how they end up not doing it. But I'm talking to a man who got the degree. I'm talking to a man who was sitting across the table from a professional football team, who had already won championships, who was already known for a winning pedigree, and went the other way, 2 instances. So I just want to ask your thought process, not beyond just saying you didn't want to be in Dallas, you didn't like Dallas, beyond just you know, saying I declined the offer, what would you say was guiding you away from those opportunities and to making those decisions?
For me, it was all a God thing. You know, my mother, you know, God rest her soul, was from Clarksville, Mississippi. Both of my parents were from Clarksville, Mississippi. And came north in 1947 during the Industrial Revolution, and she was the president of the choir for 50 plus years, and you know, we always had church and God in our lives. So when I got to high school, so understand, I went to the same high school that Magic Johnson went to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was huge. I mean, he was such a huge inspiration for us, you know, for as kids or athletes playing basketball.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to do, because I played football in junior high school, but I didn't, like I said, I didn't go off with a team in high school, because I wanted to play basketball. Everybody wanted to be like Magic.
Yeah.
So I followed a distant relative of mine came up to me and said, hey, man, you got to come out. We need some players. So here I am. And understand, there are so many kids out here who are desperately trying to get a scholarship. And here I am, you know, not even wanting to play. And just getting, I just got sucked in. I'm like, what is going on here? So yeah. I got, he asked me to come out. Second game, I'm on varsity. I'm scoring 3 touchdowns. I started getting all these letters and stuff. Michigan State come knocking at the door. I got recruited by Tyrone Willingham, who, as you know, was the head coach at Notre Dame, the first black head coach of any sport at Notre Dame.
Right.
He was actually recruiting me to go to Central Michigan.
Oh, wow.
That's where he was.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of my recruiting season, he got the job at Michigan State, the defensive back job at Michigan State, because they switched coaches.
Wow.
So, and then I met Carl Banks, who played for the New York Giants. Him and I met on a recruiting trip after my, right before, you know, in 1980. And we were at Wisconsin. And we're sitting there talking. We were in the same hotel room. We're sitting there talking. Hey, man, I think I'm going to Michigan State. And, I mean, things are just kind of, you know, just kind of coming together. So, him and I decided to go to Michigan State. We were roommates freshman year. We got through our senior years. He was a first-round draft pick. He was the third guy picked in the first round. And so football was his life. And I just saw myself, you know, it was just a means for me to get through school without having to pay for it. Because my original path was Lansing Community College, Michigan State, some way, you know, borrowing money to go to school and getting a job. But, you know, God threw me into the football thing and said, hey, this is where you're going to go. You're going to go to school for free. And you'll have an opportunity to play football in the professional league if you want. But, you know, I'm sending you to Dallas. And that's not a place that you really wanted to be. So
yeah, yeah.
You just have to kind of see the messages. It was just, I mean, I would have probably been excited about any other team. But I just, you know, that just wasn't my thing. So I just think all the God things that happened in my life. It is. I mean, I've got a story. You don't have enough time for my story, but I'm just telling you, to answer your question, it's all been directed by God. I think when you allow God in your life, you just see certain patterns and certain things that guide you in a different way, and you just kind of pray about stuff and try to make the right decision. And I think I'm blessed. I think I did. I can't even believe that I'm a saxophonist. I've been playing saxophone for so long, and if I can make somebody stand up and clap with me, that I think I've done my job. You know, because music is you know, everybody loves it, and they want to be touched by the music, and that's what I try to do every time I perform.
Oh, I love that so much, y'all. Listen, it's gonna be a lot of standing and clapping next Sunday, July 3rd, at Michael's of Las Colinas. Bring your appetite, bring a pair of dancing shoes. Y'all come ready, to get down with the get down. Brother Tim Cunningham is coming. You know, he said he wasn't too fond of our Dallas Cowboys. Were you fond of Billy Sims? You said you were a Lions fan.
Absolutely.
You must have been a Billy Sims fan.
But to understand, I was not a hater of the Cowboys. I actually, like I said, I love Tom Landry and Tony Dorsett. I absolutely love Dorsett. I thought he was incredible. Calvin Hill, Drew Pearson. It wasn't necessarily about the players. You know, like I said, when the organization, when Jimmy Jones came, Jerry Jones came here, and threw Tom Landry out like he did, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just thought that was.
I love it. This brother is blessed, y'all. That's another reason to come see him. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss this concert. So come on out. Make plans to be there. The next day is a holiday, so you can stay out late. The kids can stay up late. You can stay out late. So make all the plans you need to.
Go to YouTube and watch videos, because I've got some videos up on YouTube just typing Tim Cunningham, and you'll see, you know, through some live stuff that I've done.
I love it. I love it. He's got great music, but he's got even better stories. I could listen to him talk all day. And if you look at the clock, you see we've been talking for quite some time. So you definitely want to come meet him. Come meet him. This album he's working on now is due out in October. So make sure you put Tim Cunningham on your radar. How can we follow you on your socials? Because, you know, we got to know when that album is ready.
So the Facebook page is Tim Cunningham Music. And then my website is just simply timcunningham.com. You can find all the information there about shows, links to buying tickets and so on. So if they want to get tickets online, they can definitely go to timcunningham.com. And it is the first show on the first page. Or they can click on the shows page and they'll find the link to buy tickets there as well. And there are two shows, 6 and 8:45.
Oh, man, two shows, 6 and 8:45. Listen, if you're smart, you get tickets to both shows, because you ain't going to want to miss a thing in these shows. And, you know, good entertainers like this, you know, sometimes they got a little something up their sleeve to make these shows a little different. So what you see at 6, you may not see at 8:45. What you see at 8:45 probably didn't happen at 6 o'clock. So you got to be there. You got to be there. Make plans to be there. Mr. Tim Cunningham, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you got to be there. Michael's of Las Colinas is going down. He's bringing his sax. You bring your appetite and your dancing shoes. It's going to be lit. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Sunday.
Hey, everybody. This is Tim Cunningham. You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
It's SP Radio.